Today is Sunday, June 30th, 2024, and we are halfway through the year. It goes fast, and at my age, it seems like you go to sleep and you wake up and 3 weeks have passed and you wonder, where did that go? I am going to open up with a prayer here. A lot of this may sound familiar, but I will comment on that here in just a moment. Father in heaven, if I may be so bold again as to speak for all those within earshot of my voice, we come to you with our prayers, and our hope and faith lies in you, and our trust in you. At times it seems that we ask so much of you, where all that you ask of us is our servitude and adherence to and faith in your word. Lord, I pray that you instill in all of us the strength and will to follow the high road and to avoid the ne'er-do-well pathways that sometimes upon which we may turn. We are beset from all directions with varying degrees of folly and deceit. Please hear my voice with your words, that I might be delivering a study that is edifying to my brethren, but also pleases you, Lord, and will be the instances of misguidance. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Folks, so just bear with me, because you may have heard this before. I've got a couple of requests, you know, to repeat this study. And sometimes reiteration is important for affirmation and substantive understanding. Again, this today's study is still titled, How Can You Not Believe? And I was asked how I can possibly believe the stories and tales that are contained in the Bible. How can I believe such things are possible? Well, we'll start with 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I am grateful to know that I do have an answer. How can one not believe that God is the creator of all things, knowing all that is alive or asleep? How can one not believe in God when his message abounds in the beauty of his creation that is all around us? I know that there is great measure of ugliness that also surrounds us, and therefore this should make it easier for us to recognize and appreciate those miracles of beauty that the Lord has afforded us the opportunity to behold. The miracle of our lives and the possibility of life continuation beyond the grave. John 20:31. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Creation, as opposed to evolution, provides a fullness to life, a means to an end, a fulfillment of our existence, rather than just a simple flick of the switch and you're gone. I think all people realize that nothing in creation could have been derived from man's abilities. for that matter, nothing in our world or universe, abiding by evolution or creation, could have been derived through man's devices. Some people will not give credence to the possibility that God created it all. Therefore, the only conclusion that these particular individuals can draw from this subject is that it just happened. No rhyme, no reason. It has no explanation. Bang. We do have passages in Scripture that do speak of belief that is in the context of creation, that is in the context of God. And that being said, they're all in the context of God. Mark 9:24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. This was a man that was part of multitudes that surrounded Jesus, pleading for him to help his ill spirit afflicted son. John 9:38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This was a man that was blind from birth, that was made to see by Jesus. John 11:27. Mary, sister to Lazarus, speaking to Jesus, said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Acts 8:37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 27:25. On a journey to Rome from Caesarea Maritima, during a storm that threatened the vessel that Paul and his companions were on, Paul said to them, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And now we'll move to references to reason that are outside of Scripture. There was an individual named Thomas Aquinas from Sicily, and he was a priest and theologian whose philosophy is based on the belief that reason and faith are both necessary to achieve true knowledge. This means that there is a natural order to things that can be known through reason. At the same time, revelation from God is required to know certain truths about God and morality. The Summa Theologica is a famous work written by St. Thomas Aquinas between AD 1265 and 1274. It is divided into three main parts and covers all of the core theological teaching of Aquinas' time. I only submit reference to these writings for the reason of one individual's rationalization and reasoning for one of the questions the Summa Theologica is well known for addressing, and that is the question of the existence of God. Now, I do not subscribe to all of Aquinas' ideas, but this is just one thing that that does stand out to me to make sense. Aquinas' responds to this question by offering the following five proofs. The argument for motion. Our senses can perceive motion by seeing that things act on one another. Whatever moves is moved by something else. Consequently, there must be a first mover that creates this chain reaction of motions. This is God. God sets all things in motion and gives them their potential. And you see, the Big Bang. What caused it to bang? As my wife asks. Number two, the argument from efficient cause. Because nothing can cause itself, everything must have a cause or something that creates an effect on another thing. Without a first cause, there would be no others. Therefore, the first cause is God. Number three, the argument from necessary being. Because objects in the world come into existence and pass out of it, it is possible for those objects to exist or not exist at any particular time. However, nothing can come from nothing. This means something must exist at all times. This is God. And I will say, this falls under the auspices of the first law of thermodynamics. Number four, the argument from gradation. There are different degrees of goodness in different things, following the great chain of being. The definition of the great chain of being is a hierarchical structure of all matter and life, thought by medieval Christianity to have been decreed by God. The chain begins with God and descends through angels, humans, animals, and plants to minerals. So following the great chain of being, which states there is a gradual increase in complexity, created objects move from unformed inorganic matter to biologically complex organisms. Therefore, there must be a being of the highest form of good. This perfect being is God. Some might say that this speaks to evolution. To the contrary, I would say this great design speaks strongly of a great designer. Number five, the argument from design. All things have an order or arrangement that leads them to a particular goal. Because of the order of the universe cannot, because the order of the universe cannot be the result of chance, design and purpose must be at work. This implies divine intelligence on the part of the designer. This is God. And I will give you a prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas. Grant me, O Lord my God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope finally embracing you. We may not always understand the methods or ways of God, and that is okay. God knows this. Knowledge is on a need-to-know basis. It is not always necessary for us to know God's will and workings to a granular detail. Rather, it shall suffice to have faith in his will and workings and thus bring abidance to the table that is set for us. I have heard of times where certain individuals have a compromise of their faith in God. This is usually due to events revolving around pain and anguish experienced for the loss of a loved one in an egregious manner. The atheist would have no one to blame other than the world. Equally so, I think a believer in God would have the same measure of blame for the world. Some, unfortunately, do not. They harbor blame for God in letting such a thing of tragedy happen. In the beginning of this June, Ronnie spoke of patience. Mike Mikakowski also spoke of patience in Romans chapters 8, 24 through 25. For we are saved by hope, But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. He also spoke of, as well, of trust. Can we trust this? Yes. That is what our hope entails. Trust. Faith. I have faith, therefore I believe. I do not doubt God. I may not understand reasons for or reasons for or how certain things come about, but doubt is not part of my faith in God. Trust and faith outweighs my unknowing of some matters and details. First Peter 1:8. Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have faith in God, and my hope is with God, and doubt is not part of that equation. He who has created it all is the one who can make the rules, set direction, preserve life, answer prayers, and give of his grace. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For without God, we would know nothing, at least anything of everlasting importance. So when evolution is spoken of or touted as fact, the question still remains, why or for what reason is all existence? When the subject of creation is brought to light, and you try to apply the same question of why or for what reason, the answer is, God desired it. You may still have questions, but why is not the foundation of unknowing, as with evolution. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. John 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Generally, this follows the first law of thermodynamics. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Rather, it can be altered. God is the only one that can bring things into existence. Interestingly, evolutionists believe that everything was brought into existence from nothing at the Big Bang. Definitely seems like something is missing there. Creatio ex nihilo is Latin for creation out of nothing. Notice that this term does not say evolutio ex nihilo. Just a thought. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things in which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And I'm going to read Romans 1, 19 through 22. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we'll jump to Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We are bombarded every day with what is perceived. No, not perceived, rather professed to be fact. This professed fact is that existence and evolution is of no particular design, whose origin is from nothing and could not have been created, explains the origin of all things. The paradigm in which these supposed facts are contained is not just shrouded in a mega annum, this is a million years, but usually they are diluted in the expanse of an epoch, meaning several million years, at the very least. It is my assertion that without I believe in God, the only alternative is a nihilistic outlook. Nihilism is a belief in nothingness. There is no meaning to life or existence, which brings me back to the question within evolution as to the why and reason. At this point, this is where the existentialist comes into play, contemplating their existence. This is the epitome of hopelessness. I will finish off here by reading Revelation chapter 4. Not necessarily for its absolute relevance to some of the things I have been discussing here, rather for an answer at the end of the chapter. And that is Revelation 4. We're going to go through it all the way 1 to 10. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and now, folks, get ready for the answer to why. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I ask again, how can you not believe? I will leave you now with two prayers. The first one is my adaptation of an old Scottish prayer. May the blessing of the Lord's light be within you and compass you thereabout. May the sun shine down on you as that of a warm fire. And be there, friends and strangers alike may come and know the warmth. And now a final prayer. Father in heaven, I take the knee before you in supplication, asking nothing for myself at this moment other than my wish for wisdom to be granted to all those listening. Wisdom to divide your words rightly. Wisdom to always know and recognize your love. Wisdom to never doubt your word and retain the faith and hope in you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.